for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Quiet down, Drew. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. The darkness is here tonight. Dan and Frankie are first in the studio. And this is nice. You've never seen Dr. Drew?
I've never.
Never.
It's nice to finally see your face.
You've never heard of Dr. Drew either.
Oh,
never.
I thought we were in with Dr. Dre.
No, never seen Drew. Never seen myself?
Evidently
no?
Not.
All right.
We've heard lots about you guys.
Because Drew is a huge C/D-level celebrity here in the States, so it's surprising that you've not caught,
well, we are too.
Caught wind of him over the
so
pond.
Now, finally, we've crossed.
Fan. Fantastic.
C-List United.
We're going to hear something in the first hour and the second hour from the Darkness CD, Permission to Land. Let's see. These guys are on Leno tonight. How was that? So you already did that.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Was it good?
Yeah, I mean, we're catered well for backstage, and that's normally the bane of our lives at TV shows. You get stuck in a cupboard and you're not allowed out.
Right.
Because you get run over by a taxi, it ruins their show. So.
Right, right. They have wranglers, and everyone wants to know where you are, and
absolutely,
they need you there 4 or 5 hours in advance,
mm-hmm,
and it's real important that you get there. And then sometimes you say, well, look, I got an appointment. Could I get there a little later? And they go, no.
It gets a bit silly when 2 hours in, you haven't been to the toilet, and you still need to go. I mean,
yeah, but they got a bar there.
Mm, exactly.
I think I did the show once. You see, I am a C-list celebrity,
exactly,
whereas Drew is a D-list celebrity, so I have actually done the Tonight Show a couple of times.
Mm.
But, with the bands, the crowd there is not necessarily there to see you, even though they can enjoy you. It's a little different, I guess, in playing a show, one of your shows.
I guess it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? And it's hard to get across, what your band is all about in one song.
And especially... I don't want to seem biased here, but the Leno crowd, a little bit older, a little bit more tight.
Well, I don't know about that. We pride ourselves in bringing people together. Our purpose on this earth, if you exclude the music, mm-hmm, is to bring people together.
Yeah,
and we pride ourselves in that. That's the challenge that we rise to.
Not the old people, though.
Yeah, no, of course we do. Yeah, we
out.
Have not just parents bringing the kids to shows. We have grandparents bringing the grandchildren to our shows.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We do. Don't ask me why. I'm not a sociologist. I may well have been if I hadn't chosen music. But the fact is that we do. Don't ask me why. I'm not gloating. I'm not bragging. But
that's kind of nice.
We bring people together.
Well, and people aren't going to grow out of your music like, Limp Bizkit or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cruel.
Yeah.
True, of course.
These guys are going to play on, going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow. He's my mate. That's what we call. That's what we call friends out here. We call them mates.
I hear rumors that Quentin Tarantino may be producing the show tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to be a guest tomorrow night. He's a dear personal friend that I've never actually met, but I like to think we have some of the same ideas. Yeah, he's going to be on Kimmel's show tomorrow night, and I don't want to give anything away, but I think you guys and Tarantino are all going to go see Kill Bill 2 after the show tomorrow night.
Nice.
So if you want to hang out, I think you guys are all going to go with Tarantino and watch Kill Bill. I don't know if you saw
that
the first
nice
one.
I hope he doesn't keep saying, oh, wait, the next bit. Dies at this. Oh, watch this bit. It's amazing.
Mm, it's quite a hyper guy. Well, last night we actually met the opposite, the inverse of Tarantino, and that was Jim Jarmusch.
Mm.
Who's...
Guest
lovely
star,
guy,
so.
You know?
Yeah, you met him on the
Enigmatic
Tonight Show?
Enigmatic. No,
he
just met him in the backstage of our show.
Hmm.
He was watching our show, believe it or not.
Well, that's cool.
Hmm. It was really great to meet him. It was a real shock, you know?
This is your debut CD, but you've been to the States before? You've played in the States before?
Yeah, we came here as an unsigned band 2 years ago, first of all. We did South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, no one wanted to know us.
Really?
However... We came knocking again a year later, and it's just been like step-by-step guide, and third time lucky this year, it's gone like a dream.
Well, we're going to hear something. As soon as we get the clean version of the Darkness CD.
Hang on, it's gone 10.
We'll be hearing that. And now we'll go to the phones.
Perfect.
Yeah? All right, so here's how the show works. Young kids call in trouble, and we make fun of them. Kelsey? But we unite. We bring people together. And then we bring them together and we make fun of them. Kelsey?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, me and my friend kind of had this bet, and we were wondering what side you and Drew would be on. And I'm a virgin. He says it's unhealthy for me to be a virgin, and I don't think so. So.
Yeah. The hymen can go cancerous. Yes, Drew?
No, Adam.
Get a vagisectomy or something. That's what happened to my sister, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's poor dear.
No.
But no, there's nothing unhealthy about that.
That's probably a little bit healthier, right?
Absolutely. Okay. If you want to know, But Kelsey, if you want to know why it would be healthy, listen to this show for 20 minutes, and you immediately avoid all the hell and chaos that so many of our callers go through, right? There you go.
All right. Is he trying to have sex with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
So this is a Catholic?
This is what you call lose-lose for him.
Yeah, he's begging her to reconsider.
You're 18.
Yes.
You're virgin.
Yes.
Are you Catholic?
I am indeed.
But Kelsey, you're learning a good lesson about male friends. Male friends are your friends at your age for a reason. They're waiting around. They're just biding their time.
Hang on, Frankie.
Vultures, yes.
Yeah. Frankie,
I find that very harsh.
There's a way around that, isn't there, if you're Catholic, that you were telling me
about?
Well,
there's there's two ways of looking at this, actually. Not just one way. Two ways. Cobwebs grow in unused corners and crevices.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's cobwebs, there's often spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to choose if your boyfriend is a spider or a scorpion.
It's a choice between a spider and a crab.
A crab.
Hey, Kelsey.
What? Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
They're from England.
Okay.
No, Kelsey, actually, I think it's awful that four men are behaving in such an insensitive way. So I think you should possibly explain a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Yeah, he wants to have sex with you, right? And is he interested in you as a girlfriend?
We already did that, actually.
Right. He just wants sex. So.
All right, you won the bet, and tell him he's going to win the blue balls bet, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. What happened to blue balls, Drew? We don't hear about it.
Oh, no,
it
I do. When I go to the college campuses, they're still talking about
it. Oh, really?
Yes. And to some extent, it exists. There's lymphatic and venous congestion.
But just don't hear about it so much.
For the most part, it is a point of contention for manipulation.
Do you guys have blue balls in England?
I mean,
what do you call them?
Well,
it's a syndrome.
The only time I've had blue balls is after I've had a game of football, a game of soccer.
Oh, we actually black and blue.
In December.
Oh, I see. Cool. Yeah. You get a shin in the nuts. Hmm. No, but do they use the term blue balls in England?
No.
What does it mean?
No. Okay. Well, I'll tell you. Let's say you've been with a chick and you've been making out the whole night, but you never get to go to the next level. So it's 5 hours of just sort of feverish dry humping.
Tension but no release.
That's right. Congestion down there,
and the balls go blue.
Well,
they call them that.
Well, I think I'd probably knock one out before they.
Yeah.
They went
well, one would think. Well, the band's doing well now, so don't worry.
Yeah. So
don't worry.
It's not.
I'm just saying before, like when you guys were doing South by Southwest a few years ago, it's hard to knock them out because you can't find the partner. All right. You ready to move forward here, Drew?
Germany or Florida.
Okay, this is a game that I'll be goddamned if this hasn't made it across the pond, Drew. This is called Germany or Florida. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. All the morose and the macabre, all the strange, usually acts of crime, from Germany or Florida. People call in, they tell us a story, and we guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Will?
Yeah, hi.
What's
things
happening?
Are sick and twisted.
Here's
from
our
too
theme.
Much sun and Nazis, sex with and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
All right. Go ahead, Will.
All right. First of all, Adam, you're an amazing man.
Thank you.
If I did believe in God, you would be him. Dark is a great band. Dr. Drew, really smart man. My mom and dad are both doctors, so.
Right.
Anyways.
So you never see them, sorry.
All right. The naked body of a 27-year-old man was found draped across the back of a killer whale in a whale tank on the morning of July 6th. He had apparently hidden in the zoo after closing time and to try and paint one of the whales with his computer programming company when he drowned in the cold, salty water of the tank. The 14-year-old whale may have played with the man's body as if it were a toy. The whale bit the man's groin while the whale was trying to take his green shorts off. Mm-hmm. The shorts were found at the bottom of the tank. Germany or Florida?
Wow.
Let's figure this one out.
Now we got to think now.
Well, you'd think Florida because think Florida. They have lots of those marine lands. But he let a little clue go. He said it's a zoo.
Mm-hmm. He didn't call it a marine park
right,
or something
or a theme
like that.
Park or something.
Interesting.
So already that they would never call a place in Florida with a killer whale a zoo.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And also, I feel like we would have heard about it if it was over here.
But then computer.
It's tough. I'm going Germany
I am
on
too.
This one.
Germany.
Frankie?
I go Florida.
Florida.
Good. Dan?
Yeah, Florida. Yeah.
Florida? Florida. All right, we got two Germany, two Florida. Wow. It's heating up.
Very excited.
Wow. All right, here we go. Will?
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
It was Florida.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Well done.
British invasion, everybody. Beating us at our own game. That's like once in a while when the Japanese beat us at baseball. It's smarts. It's our game. It's German or Florida. This is our game. You understand?
I heard tonight that whale meat actually tastes quite nice.
Oh, really?
And can be make a delicious meal.
But not. I wonder if killer whale tastes worse than sperm whale.
Well, killer whale is not a whale. It's a dolphin, basically.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's in that family.
It's got the word whale right
I know.
In the title.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
All right, so it's not a whale.
A sperm whale is not actually a sperm, even though it's right in the name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killer whales do kill things. Other whales don't.
Yeah.
Unless you count plankton as things, which you shouldn't.
Yeah, you know, if
you crossed a sperm whale with a blue whale, you would have blue balls, wouldn't you?
Drew,
do whales have balls?
Were we talking about sperm whales
why
on the show?
Why they're called sperm.
Yeah, that's good times. All right, let's talk to Lola, who's... Boy, Drew, we got to get back now with this Germany or Florida.
I know, we're out.
Lola?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, all right, I've been bulimic ever since probably around last November. I got caught smoking pot, and so basically my parents were really, like, disappointed in me, and I got kind of upset about all that, and I got out of a really bad relationship, so I was upset about that. I became bulimic. About 2 months ago, I started dating this 17-year-old, and he basically wanted something really serious, and I was not ready for that. I didn't want that, so I broke things off with him. And he, ever since then, he has constantly been nagging me, like calling my cell phone constantly, calling my house constantly, calling my friends, trying to get a hold of me.
What's the question, Lola?
I want to know, like, I wasn't throwing up for a long time, like, while I was with him. But now that we're over and he's gotten me so stressed, I've started again.
Are you cutter also?
No.
Okay. You know, when people cut and purge, it tends to be at times of extreme stress, right? It's a way, it's a bid for affect regulation. It's a bid to try to control overwhelming feelings.
I think that's what it is.
That's what it is. But Lola, here's the deal. Whenever you become distressed, these symptoms are going to get worse. And the problem is bulimia is a chronic condition. It's a potentially fatal condition. It has a specific treatment, and you've got to get it cared for. Does your family know you're bulimic?
Germany. I'm Germany.
My
Florida.
Mom does.
All right. And why don't they take you to some care, right?
My mom's taken me before. All right. And that's what stopped me. Like, I was in... All right. I went to the doctor.
Take you again.
Don't worry. Yeah, talk to the team that's taking care of you about this guy that's being such a pain in the ass. Don't worry about him. He will be fine. You've got to focus on taking care of yourself because this is a very, very serious condition.
Can you imagine, Drew, you got a daughter. Wait till you get some horny 18-year-old coming
around.
Yeah,
but here's what you know about her. Her dad is probably abusive, and that's why she picked the abusive guy, and that's why she's stuck in the cycle of abuse again.
Is he abusive or
the first guy was, she said, was sort of would treat her the way she didn't want to be treated kind of thing.
Lola?
Yeah.
Was your dad abusive?
No, not at all.
Where is he? Is he around?
No, he's sleeping.
Why did you pick a guy that was such? You said you were in a bad relationship. Why did you pick that kind of guy?
I'm not really sure. I met him through one of my friends, and it was kind of like we liked each other for a while, and it was like he was really nice in the beginning, but I really didn't see like his true colors till we were dating for a while.
Yeah, that's that. All right, whatever. But there's something there, Lola. So the reason
you're 15. Yeah. You get hooked up. All guys are really cool at the beginning. It's hard to tell the weirdos. I was watching this.
And yet you know the spidey sense people have. They'll find it.
What about the spidey and the vagina we were talking about?
That was the webs and the spidey.
That's
and the scorpion.
Yeah. Spidey said something else. I was watching this Ted Bundy. You guys know Ted Bundy, the serial killer we got out
here?
Rings
a bell. You got quite a few out here.
Yeah, get up.
Oh,
you
got quite a few out here.
Yeah, we got. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're thick. We're going to start exporting them, as a matter of fact. We got too many serial killers out here. Actually white guys who dress nice, loners, quiet. You know, they'd fit right in.
Invisible people.
Invisible people, yeah. Some of these guys are nice looking, and they have a real rap. As a matter of fact,
sociopaths are very pleasant.
Sociopaths have a huge rap. They come across actually much better than I do.
Way better. Yeah.
Yeah.
They make you feel good.
Yeah. I mean, feel good.
Right, yeah.
No, so how come in Hollywood flicks is always the English sociopath?
Yeah, you know, something happened where we used, you know, for a while we just made the villains. First we made them Nazis, because that's easy.
Then
and then later on we made them Russians, and then for a while we got a little confused and weren't sure what direction to go. So we just made them suspect. We went with the Brit for a while. Then we went with the Middle Eastern, but not quite sure where, and it could have been sort of a cross between Vietnamese. And it's like a little Cambodian and a little Vietnamese and then some crazy Middle Eastern stuff going on. And then we decide, let's just get a really good-looking, diabolical British accent guy. Because, you know, the thing I was thinking about, too, most villains are really handsome. Or in real life, I don't think villains are as attractive.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They're actually good-looking guys.
Bundy.
I don't know, though.
Bundy, nice-looking.
Guys have to lure their prey.
That's exactly right.
There's going to be, I mean, it's not all about looks, is it? You know, something to be quite charming.
I was having a discussion at the hospital. We were talking about how women tend to see the emptiness and pain in the sociopathic males, and men tend to see the pain in the borderline females, and so they try to rescue the women.
Yeah, that emptiness
and the women,
can draw people towards you.
And the women seem to be drawn to the men. They sort of tune into that pain.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful? It's God's way.
Yeah. Mm. Well, let me defend Hollywood just a little bit more. The English guys that are the criminal masterminds, you know, they're not just thugs.
They're smart. They're geniuses.
They've used their genius for evil. Mm-hmm. We recognize them as highly evolved.
In this country, an English accent denotes genius.
Yeah, it makes you smart.
Just immediately.
I think it's a chicken and the egg, actually. I think it's because they're Shakespearean actors who are versed and able to play the villain because of their roles in English theater.
It's interesting. I never thought about that, but yeah. And it's so they're diabolical, which is much better than just being a brute.
Right.
All right. What are we gonna do? Hear a song? Let's take one call and then we'll hear a song. Cool. All right. This is Alyssa, who's 15. Alyssa.
Yeah.
You're 15.
Mm-hmm.
You lost your virginity.
When I was 9.
When you were 9 to a 36-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
Welcome to America, gentlemen. That would not be losing one's virginity. That would be
getting raped.
That's being the victim of sexual abuse, Alyssa, right?
Well, it was more like seduction because I didn't fight back or anything. No.
At 9, you can't fight back. You can't make choices.
Yes, you could scratch somebody if you wanted to, but the point is
when you have an older person there,
you have no culpability here.
No.
This guy was a criminal, pure and simple. It's sad that you feel like you have some responsibility.
Or anything to do with this experience.
Yeah, even the fact that you feel like you have 10% responsibility just because you didn't kick and scream is ridiculous.
One of the things that happens, Alyssa, is that when you're being sort of neglected at home, I don't know if this is your story or not, but you'll feel sort of, you'll see the attention by this adult, even though it's sort of hard to understand and shattering in its own way, is so satisfying because it's somebody showing you love and attention.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and so you feel guilty for that, and you feel overwhelmed that you somehow brought this on yourself or you participated in it.
Who was
it's
the guy,
okay
by
that
the way?
It's okay that, for God's sakes, you felt a human hand as being sort of caring and connecting to you, but the fact is this guy was a bad guy and a criminal. And be careful now. You're going to be drawn to people like this. It's sort of in your wiring now.
Where'd you meet this guy?
Camplin on the Bay.
We get out that way. I have no idea where that is.
I go there. It's in San Diego. I go there every 4th of July.
It's a camp?
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He was just there the 1 week that I was there. So I haven't seen him since.
As a camper or a counselor?
Huh?
As a counselor or something?
What was he doing there?
No,
just
no.
Walking on the beach?
No, it's a campground. It's a family campground.
I see. He just was a
He was just a camper.
Yeah.
It's the beach, dude. Just free-spirited, Adam.
Wow.
Relax. Come on. You're too uptight, Adam. Come on.
Oh, God. Yeah. I pray this guy, like, got like a rusty s'more put up his ass or something.
But
some
then,
sort of camping-related
you know,
accident.
He was sexually abused.
Good.
Too, so.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you have to?
Pretty much. How do you get that hankering otherwise?
But what's
I don't... Yeah, well, hold on a second. As a guy... Okay, if you're a 35-year-old guy and you're going after 10-year-old boys, there's a good chance you were sexually abused
yes.
when you were young.
Yes, yeah, that's what goes without
All
saying.
All right, that goes without saying. But if you're a 35-year-old guy going after a 9-year-old chick...
Usually, physical
can't
abuse
just
can
be...
Can't
be sort of good and effed up?
Yeah, but usually there's something like that in there. Some heavy-duty physical abuse. Yeah. So something to make him attracted to that, to need to fuse to that age group.
Right.
His source of pain is around that same time of development.
Right. Darkness going to be on Leno tonight, by the way. As long as we're talking about that molestation.
But,
Alyssa.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
All right. Tell whoever just came in here not to slam the goddamn door. Alyssa.
Yeah?
You're 15. This is. Have you got any therapy for this?
I actually just started therapy. But what's been going on since I was 9 was I've always hung out with older guys, and so I had sex a lot after that because I just thought it was, like, the normal, casual thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was that I've never had an emotional attachment to any one person that I've had sex with.
Right.
Because, like, usually, like, I just first meet him and we agree to just have sex. And
while, Alyssa, you will sexualize lots of your feelings, it's going to be very difficult. You've got to just listen. You got to have a little. It's like any other compulsion or addiction. You got to stop, start working on things a little bit, start experiencing a broader range of feelings without falling back on this old way of doing things. So you can build the possibility for connecting with people and having real relationships.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if bad things happen to guys who did this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if they ever do. Where's the God? Where's everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't bad things... I bet this guy's probably won the lottery a couple of times since he raped this 9-year-old.
Just surfs, goes to camps.
All right. So, listen, get some therapy. Please stop acting out. Sorry for what happened to you. The darkness is here tonight. We should hear a song, but now we're running late. We got some band questions. Let's take a quick question for the band. Then we'll take a break. Then we'll come back. Then we'll hear a song. Then we'll talk some more people. Then I'll go to the bathroom, probably number one. Then we'll take some more calls and we'll go home.
Perfect.
Okay, that'll be about the next 2 hours. Let's
see.
Wait
a
minute.
This,
no, we've got a question for you. Laurel?
Hello?
What's up?
I was wondering, I have a question for the darkness. Yeah.
Here they are.
Hi. First of all, I love you guys. You're my favorite band. You're awesome. I saw your show on Tuesday.
Thank you.
And it's the most awesome thing I have ever seen.
Cheers.
My question is... what's coming up next? I mean, are you planning on recording another album or we're touring, wedding festival, SNL, anything?
Well, we're coming back in June to tour here and in September again. So we're writing for the new album and so on and so forth. And I'd just like to say that we're a little bit shocked about this program. We weren't really informed as to kind of what it was and how serious it was and the sort of things. And we thought it would be based around the darkness, and it's not. And these guys are doing a great job with their advice and stuff. So this will be the last you'll hear of us on this show tonight, I'm afraid. But, yeah, but, you know, thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a great fan. We'll be in America, like, for another 2 tours towards the end of the year. And thanks for your support. And I'm sorry to everyone who listened, who's got questions for us, but this isn't us.
All right. Well, okay. Listen, I respect that.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys, what you're doing, but it's... That's not what I expected.
Yeah, we're not really qualified to kind of talk about this kind of stuff.
No, I understand. We got a lot of tough questions tonight. I mean, normally, we get a few of these, but they're not quite
as... this is not what we're on this earth for. I think you guys, you know, carry on doing what you're doing.
But be careful, though, because the celebrities play a very important role in here, because that's who this age group listens to.
Absolutely.
And if you are able to reinforce any of the things that
Absolutely.
Are said, it has a huge impact.
I would not feel qualified to talk to any of these people. You know?
All right.
I appreciate their problems, and I have problems, but this is not... You know, the time and the place. I'm not qualified to talk to you people. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
Well, fair enough.
You know, Well, it's fair enough. We'll still play a Darkness song when we come back. Hey, but I
you
guess
don't have
to.
It's
I
absolutely
guess,
fine.
No, we like to. I was hearing before.
Like do it anyway.
Okay.
All right. We'll say bye to the band. God bless you guys. You come back anytime. And we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, the darkness has left the studio, and we're fine with that. I think, it was a twofold thing. One, I don't think they were prepared for the subject matter, and two, I think they thought the questions were going to be
about
directed
them.
Toward them and about them. And sometimes people are surprised, and it happens with bands from England oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe not in their culture to sit around and talk about exploding hymens and finger blasting for 2 hours, and they may have a point there. But they got off. They did Leno. They had a couple of boozes. They're wound up. They didn't want to sit here for 2 hours and listen to us talk about people getting raped at campsites. All right. Now, here's the thing, as I've said many times.
Fine.
I never care if you don't want to be here. And I think Drew feels the same way. Oh, we're not being smug. Like, hey, fine. If you don't want to be here, then we don't want.
No.
That's not that way. It's like, if this isn't your cup of tea,
fine.
quite literally now, because for me, let's say, if this isn't your cup of tea, oh, fine. We respect that. And they actually, I thought they acquitted themselves nicely. Mm-hmm. They said, respectfully, this isn't our kind of thing, and we'll be moving on.
That's fine.
All right. Got a question for the band.
We won't be taking that question.
Oh, okay. Well, let's let the party begin. Katie?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm no longer sexually... I don't want sex anymore. I've been with my girlfriend for a year and a half, and I'm... Like, sex doesn't turn me on with anybody anymore, and I don't understand why.
Well, there's an interesting thing, Katie, that happens that is not discussed, and I've actually heard this from many, many, many lesbian couples, that after about 6 months... sex just sort of stops.
Mm-hmm.
And lesbian couples, for whatever, because whenever there's no penis, no testosterone involved, it just becomes a close, intimate relationship, but very often and routinely,
well, you got,
without
you got,
sex.
You got two boxcars and no engine. See, Drew, man of exquisite passion.
Two engines.
You got a diesel-fired electric locomotive, pulling that boxcar. And it's a constant. It cannot stop chugging. It is the big engine that could. Whereas with lesbians, you got a couple of boxcars sitting there eventually.
Yeah, there's coast to a halt.
Yeah, and there's some problem. Usually something got them there in the first place that resurfaces at some point. Katie?
Yes.
Any sexual abuse in the past?
I don't know, but I figure there's something in my past because I've never been able to hold an intimate relationship until this one. I did like 60 guys before that.
60.
I might be even 75. I have a list at home.
But list.
Great. Her husband will find that one day. Be like a scroll. Here he. Like when you open it up, just rolling down the stairs. Yes. All right. Okay. So like, Katie, you sure you're a lesbian?
Yes.
Wait, is it that you're a lesbian or that you just found an intimate relationship with somebody who happens to be a woman?
I just found an intimate relationship that happens to be a woman.
See, that's what Adam was talking about.
Mm.
Yeah, I never thought I would be a lesbian, but this is the one person I've fallen in love with, so I'm okay with staying here.
All right, and does she not want sex or do both of you not want sex?
She still wants sex. I don't want sex.
Do you want any medication?
No.
All right.
She's not a lesbian, as we discussed. And she's found someone she feels safe with.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the physical part isn't there. I mean, look.
Well, and what happens, I'll tell you what happens, when somebody has been sexually abused, when they start to get actually emotionally involved with somebody, it's hard for them. They confuse it. Yeah, the sex part becomes sort of the bad part of themselves, and the good part of themselves is the part that can be intimate, and they can't integrate the two in the same relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have sex with somebody that's sort of abusive to them and sociopathic and a bad guy or a bad girl,
right.
But when they're with somebody they really like, they can't bring that piece in.
Right.
So maybe something along those lines.
Mm. Now look, I understand the part about hanging with your own sex. It's a better time. I mean, you're just talking about doing stuff. It's better to do with guys. It's just you're not physically interested in them. But just going, you know, like going out on the road and stuff, doing going to a ball game, going to a movie. Everything's better with a guy.
Well, I'm
going to
play paintball with my sons on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
You want to go?
Where are you going?
I don't know. It's a friend's party.
Oh, it's a party?
Yeah.
Paintball
party. 11-year-old party.
Oh, someone's going to get hurt, Trey. There's going to be a trail of tears leading back to the SUV.
Fantastic.
Yeah, here's the thing about paintball. I think I've done it a couple times. The thing about paintball is first off, they hurt. They don't tell you that part.
My kids announced they're going to wear 5 pairs of pants and 8 shirts and all this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing about paintball. Paintball, it's like getting in an accident on a moped. It's like, look, if you're just wearing dolphin shorts and flip-flops, you're in for a world of hurt. If you're wearing full-blown leathers, you still might feel the ground, but you'll be much better shape. The problem is half the stuff goes on up in the foothills in July.
Right.
And so you wearing the sweatpants underneath the Levi's and running around like a commando can be a little difficult. So what you want to do is you want to get in a colder weather climate, then pad up.
Yeah.
You get shot in the back, you get shot in the arms. If you get shot in the neck.
Do they wear helmets and stuff?
Yeah, things have evolved since I used to play. Glasses? What do you do with your glasses? You probably put your goggles over your glasses.
Hmm.
It's good times. And it teaches the kids an important message about...
killing each other?
Well, taking out your enemy. Hey, I'll tell you, the adrenaline is pumping, though, Trey.
I mean, you
start thinking... And I'm starting to wonder... Like, I'm starting to wonder if there is a difference between, you know, wartime and this. If there's a difference between... I don't know what it's like to be out on the field for a World Series, but last year I played in that All-Star softball game. There's 40,000 people, and I robbed a home run of a guy. I don't think I could have felt any different if it was the World Series, you know?
Yes.
And same with these kinds of events. When the guy blows the whistle and you're on the run and people are shooting at you, I just think there's a certain amount of adrenaline you have, whether it's the Viet Cong shooting AK-47 rounds over your head, or it's your son's goofy friend Justin,
in fact,
who's shooting you in the ass with a paintball.
In fact, in the professional situations,
does he have any friends named Justin?
No, strangely enough, that's probably the only name they don't have a friend named.
Well, that's just really think. You but, think maybe one?
But yeah,
no, nothing,
not anymore. Okay. But I know who you. I know what you mean. The deal though is that in professional situations, with professional sports, professional soldier, I bet you there's even less because they're so trained to conduct themselves a certain
way.
It's probably a little less than it would be.
They're battle hardened.
Yeah.
Yes. Your heart will be beating like a gopher, and the thing is you will be running and cartwheeling into bushes and stuff when people are shooting at you. You'll just be diving, you'll be crawling around on your belly. You'll be doing anything not to get shot, and that's when you feel it when you get home. It's sort of like, we always say, like, you could take your skin off your kneecap down to the actual cap if you were screwing good enough. You know what I'm saying? You don't feel it. You're in the moment.
It's like playing a football game or something.
Yeah, but it's like playing a football game, except for you don't get to sort of limp back to the huddle. It's just on. And so you'll be crawling around on your belly trying not to get shot, and you'll just be going over rocks and stuff, and you won't even be thinking about it. And you get home, you get all black and blue.
Fantastic.
It's good times.
Yeah, good times.
All right. Let's talk to Andy, who's 15.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering if you smoke marijuana, you can, like, stop, get, like, erectile function to get an erection.
What was that again,
Andy?
Now?
I'm guessing you smoke a fair amount of marijuana.
I've done it once.
Yeah, no. Okay. One exposure to marijuana is not likely to affect your erectile function. No.
But yeah, but if you do it over an amount of time, like.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Most definitely. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Well, you know, it's funny. The last last time I played paintball was around
La Crescenta.
La Crescenta. Actually,
that's where
in the hills
calling
of La Crescenta.
Yeah. But, you know, think about these 15-year-old, 18-year-olds calling with the questions about pot. So they're going to go from having an erection every 8 minutes to an erection every 18 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they
maybe 11
notice
minutes.
Exactly.
Right. All right, Andy.
All right. So,
where do you live over there in La Crescenta?
I don't know how to say, like, where.
Okay. You near La Cañada or near Sunland?
What's a tough question?
Well, I'm closer to Sunland than La Cañada. Okay.
Somehow you did.
Lake Street exit off the freeway?
Yeah, like right near it. Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Used to live there. That's where I used to live.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so if you like smoke marijuana, you can...
All right.
Yes.
Idiots. You see why I had to move? This is my paper boy.
Oh, my.
And believe me, the closer you get to Sunland, the stupider you get. And by the way, anyone thinking of moving out to Southern California area, stay away from anything with a sun in it. Sun Valley, Sunland, all trouble.
Or Santa.
Santa and sun.
Santa Ana, Santa Monica.
Sunland was just bikers, just white trash meth head bikers. Ugh. All right, Drew. We got to take a break because I really got to talk to you about the difference between La Cañada and Sunland.
That's important.
It was crazy.
Oh, worlds of difference. By the way, let's never have guests on this show again. I feel so relieved just to
it's
be
nice.
Back.
It's nice. I'm always glad I'm on the guest list.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Do us a favor. I love these guys.
No. Hold on a second. Now, who'd we have last night who I liked?
Oh, that was Tina Fey and Tim Meadows.
Oh, Tina Fey and Tim Meadows.
Yeah,
they were great. All right. And then Colby's going to be on here from Survivor. The Pennywise guys, minus Fletcher, thank holy Christ.
Oh yes.
Tomorrow night. They're good guys. James... Marster's from, he's from Angel. Well, he's on Angel now. He's from, he used to be from Buffy. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. All right, so we got some good people coming up.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, Corolla, Dr. Drew, 722-22 after 7. Phone number 1-800-LSBD, 911-522-7. Now, let me tell you something about this. It's coming in. The darkness coming in all the way over the pond. Now, thinking about darkness coming in, it's like, hey, boys, what you guys doing a seminar? Hey, I got raped in a campground. Hello, seminar. Cheerio. And toodaloo's only 724-24. So I'm a seminar, Drew. And Drew, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at Drew. And Drew's looking at me.
And I'm saying, Drew.
With Drew's... Drew's saying, hey, but what Drew's thinking is, and I see him, because I see him, 727-27 after 7, I see Drew, and I see his mouth, out of his mouth is coming, the head is going, oh, please, 729-29 after 7, Chris, all right, let's give him the phone out. So I'm sitting there, but I'm saying these guys are coming here, fresh off of Leno, and they went, and I got sitting here, you know, and I'm saving it, Drew. Now, I don't want to say nothing because I know someone's and I'm going to say, now, if I say it, then I'm the bad guy. But if I say it, I leave it alone, well, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, but I'm seven. Then it's a Corolla over there. Seven. But all of a sudden, I came at a seven. And everyone's like, "That's Corolla." Well, that's from somebody. And let me tell you something. He says what he says. He says what he means. And you just assume whatever. I don't just sit here putting on my I say, "No, it's seven." You get on seven at the door. Let's get you the seven out. Back over to Mary Old Blossom and the whole of you. You goddamn it, about it. You can kiss my seven of him and I have a mother. I said it. All right. So that's what happened with the darkness.
That's what happened.
Straighten that right
And everyone's
out.
Happy.
All right. Billy?
Yeah.
Billy,
You come at the Ace Man with Hamada Sibada Abada, and I'm coming right back out with Hamada Sibada Abada. I don't sit here going to the Sibada, right? And I don't go Hamada Sibada, and I don't go Sibada Abada. I go Hamada Sibada Abada. All right, Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you should know that about me.
Yeah.
How's it going, Adam? You're hilarious, man.
Ann was gone last week during the gibberish week.
Yeah, so we had gibberish week.
We did an entire week of gibberish.
Yeah, just the whole show. So five shows in a row.
Didn't form a question.
Well, we got a couple.
No, it's all gibberish.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, my question's for Dr. Drew. I'm also a man of extreme passion, and I wound up making love to a friend of mine. She has herpes. But we used a condom. I was wondering what the chances are of me contracting it from her.
Well, what do you think?
I'm just wondering
what he thinks.
Don't be sarcastic.
No, because, listen, you took precautions. You protected yourself as best you could. She didn't have an outbreak, right?
No.
Well, right. There you go. Now we'll see.
Okay.
There's no way to put a number on that.
What kind of doctoring is that?
There's no way to put a number on that. There's no way.
No, I know, but
I don't know. We'd
just
have to
shut up.
Wait a minute. We'd have to measure whether she was shedding virus or not. I mean, there's no way.
You wore a condom. She didn't have a breakout.
You're pretty good. She should be in good shape.
You're in good shape.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey! All right. See you, buddy. All right. Guy's in a hurry. I like this. Probably wants a nailer again. He's a man of exquisite passion, as you are, Drew.
Yeah, sort of offended they put "man of exquisite passion" with juxtaposed with "I made love to this."
Yeah,
it's like not your girlfriend. What?
Let me tell you something about the passionate men. Passionate men will take their chances on some herpes. Passionate men will pull the cork on that time of the month. Passionate man will need to be with a woman.
Pull the cork.
Yeah, we'll need to be with a woman, even if he's not particularly attracted to her, just sort of to get it on. Now, that's not true. No, listen. A passionate man does not want to eat a bad meal, but he needs sustenance. Whereas the man whose metronome does not
lower
kick
metabolism.
As fast, the lower metabolism man, like myself, can go a night, skip a night, not eat. Yeah, I'm taking a look at the warmed-over Hungry Man Salisbury steak, and I'm just thinking, a glass of water and go to bed.
And yet you have yourself to the box of Hamburger Helper.
I beat off to the Hamburger Helper. Yeah, because I'd rather see the beautiful picture of what's on the cover than actually taste the rancid meat
and
inside.
Soil yourself with the reality, yes, I understand.
Yeah, or it's true, exquisite passion. No, let's try to define the passionate man. And forget we're talking about you for a second, but we're talking about, and then this isn't you, but we're talking about guys who are, guys who will be with a prostitute. Like, okay, here's what a passionate man will do.
That's a different guy.
No, quiet. Here's what a passionate man will do. And you've said this yourself. Passionate man, very candidly,
yeah,
and then beg me not to talk about it. A passionate man cannot sit in a strip club for 3 hours. And then just go home.
No.
He will find the skanky's chick in there. He'll pay her $30 and get a hand job in the alley or something. I mean, it becomes like the guy needs a fix. Mm. You know what I mean?
I don't know that the Apache guy will go to that length, but it's like a guy needs a fix, yes.
Yeah, and it is sort of a form of torture.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been with passionate friends in Tijuana and seen them take guys who look like chicks that look like guys upstairs. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I don't. At a certain point, it just becomes, they become like they're in a dogfight. They'll bite their master. Like, they don't care. It doesn't even matter what, am I attracted? Is she beautiful? Is she seductive? No, it's game on. The switch has been flipped. There's guys who fight that way. You know what I mean? It's like, they're mashing a guy's head against the curb. They don't even know it.
Yeah.
He's passed out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a switch that gets flipped. Drew has that switch. It's right between his balls and his honker. Just gets flipped. It's a toggle. There's a toggle right there.
I've been looking for that switch for a long time. I'm going to switch it off.
Hey, let me say something ironic. I don't know why. I just thought about this. I never really thought about it. But cars are getting nicer now. But the nicest switch on a car, by far, is always the hazard switch on every car. It's usually the only one that lights up. It's like a big red triangle. Mm-hmm. It's sitting right in the middle of the dash. Mm-hmm. American cars, it's kind of crappy. It's on the column. But Japanese or European cars, yeah. Even like my dad's old piece of ass Volkswagen Rabbit from like 1978, had a bunch of broken, crappy plastic knobs. But the hazard lights thing, always the nicest one. It's the one you never get to touch. You touch it twice every 6 years.
Damn it.
The nicest button on the dash is the one you don't flip. Think about it. No, don't answer.
I got to go out my car. Just think about it.
Just think about it. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Well, if you missed the beginning of the show, The Darkness, the rock band from the UK, who evidently is doing very nicely, selling a lot of records, is here. Stayed for the first break. Show wasn't their cup of tea. Although, as Drew and I broke it down, we're thinking about, maybe the content was a little rough for them. But they sort of needed to leave long before the show went south with the rape calls. And as a matter of fact, they were here for a Germany or Florida. And then they were here for some other call about some 18-year-old virgin who didn't really amount to much.
And they were already...
Would have been a G or PG rated call by Loveline standards. They were ready to get out of here because I think they thought the calls were going to be geared toward them, the darkness, which is fine, sort of. But I was just reading their bio sheet here, and it starts off... in a musical era dominated by self-important artists. Yes, and teary heart on their sleeves, troubadours. The darkness has grabbed rock and roll by its shoulders and given it a swift snakeskin booted kick right where it counts. Well, all right. So when they say... dominated by self-important artists, they're talking about somebody else, right?
They must be talking about the kinds of guys that come on here and humbly help out the community of young people like System of a Down and Motley Crue people that, you know.
All the other bands.
Yeah, all the other bands.
Oh, those are the self-important
ones. Those are the self-important ones, yeah.
I see. Well, maybe that's something to strive for then. Maybe we should all be heading that direction.
And by the way, we're not poking fun at the darkness here so much as their representation.
Yeah. That was whenever you read these bios, you just want to shove a ballpoint pen down your throat until you vomit. And by the way, here's one that's getting overused just a little bit too much. Offers something truly... London based quartet's acclaimed Atlantic record debut offers something truly magnificent. Wow. And irresistible and unapologetic. And by the way, I don't know... someone picked up this unapologetic look at or unapologetic rock and roll vision or something. Somebody picked up this unapologetic thing about 3 years ago and just hasn't put it down. Mm-hmm. Now it's in everyone's bio. Everybody, every book is a brash, unapologetic look at the political system, everything. When did this unapologetic thing come up? And let's drop it.
Yeah, officially. Right. Dropped.
All right, but... not a self-important band.
Yeah, Coldplay, those guys are self-important. They come on here and they humbly help out.
That's right. Well, they're very self-important, these bands.
Basically, all the bands that have been... I guess they've not been very successful in the United States, some of these other bands that have come on this show. Oh, no, wait a minute. They've been very successful, but...
They're not self-important. I can't figure it out. Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yep.
What's happening?
Not much. Well, just to start off, I've been out of the country for a couple of years, so I've missed out on quite a bit, it sounds like. What happened to the man show?
Man show. Man show, we quit, and they got two other guys to do it instead of us.
No, who'd they get? They got the guy off of News Radio and off of Fear Factor.
Right, that's Joe Rogan. And then,
there you go.
They got another guy named Doug.
And where were you? The obviously, you're wanting us to ask. Where did you go? Where were you?
Oh, I was in Mexico.
Ah,
yeah.
Doing what?
I was on a mission for the LDS Church. I'm a Mormon.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Where's Anderson? We need him.
Let me just say something very quickly. If you read the Entertainment Weekly, though, you would have heard that Comedy Central performed a Corollaectomy to get him off of the show he created, and they begged to stay on. Or I should say co-created. Yes. Yeah, it's good times. Oh, God, don't get me going on them, Drew.
I know. Let's all go. Right, keep going. What's up?
All right.
What's
up, Brian? Mexico. What part of Mexico did you go to?
Does it matter? Called Tampico.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing over there? Spreading the good news?
That's exactly what I was doing.
Riding a bike through Mexico, wearing short sleeve shirt and a tie.
I wasn't even riding a bike. I was walking the whole time.
Do you actually get people to convert?
Oh, a lot, actually. In Mexico, we did quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what happens?
Well, they got to lose over there.
But how do you know? Do they start showing up at church, or how do you know that you've done your job?
Well, what it is, I mean, we go to their houses, and we just start talking to them, and if they're interested, they come to church with us. And, I mean, it all depends on the people.
Do you speak Spanish?
I do.
All right.
That's nice.
I'm picturing in Mexico, you're going in there knocking on the door and the whole door falling off, and then a goat running out, and a guy chasing him with his pants around his ankles.
It's more like Gilligan's Island. You knock on the straw. It's bamboo.
I just say the whole door just falls in, and then here's what I say. Here's what I picture. I picture you going around on your bike about noonish on a weekday, tap, tap, tap on the door. Door falls over, big cloud of smoke. The smoke clears. A goat goes running through your legs and out into the street. Guy, pants around his ankles, chasing it with just his underpants on and swinging a bottle of tequila over his head, yelling, "Hey!" Huh?
That's it.
That
was his life.
That would be, I would say, a pretty fair depiction.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what part of Mexico was this town in?
It's on the east coast, about 6 hours south of Texas.
Mm-hmm. And poor people?
Very, very much so. I mean, I don't think I ever really knocked on the door. Most of the time it was a piece of sheet metal or cardboard even, so.
A piece of corrugated tin, huh?
Where did you stay?
Sorry, what was that?
Where did you stay?
Basically in the same house as they did. We never were given anything. We always rented a place.
Did you have any medical problems while you were there?
That's kind of where all my things started. I don't know if you read my question. When I was down there, I started getting anxiety really bad. And since I've been home from Mexico, I've been home for, I've been home for quite a while, but I've been on almost any kind of antipsychotic, antidepressant, and anxiety that you could possibly imagine. I mean, they've put me on them. And, I mean, right now I'm currently taking Paxil. And the thing is
hang on a second. Have you been evaluated medically to make sure these symptoms aren't somehow brought on by God knows what kind of infectious disease you might have contracted?
True. What are you saying? You go to Mexico without getting a disease?
Yes, you can. But if you start having symptoms, you'd certainly want to look around to make sure that's not what's causing it.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually seen about 10 different doctors in four different states.
All right. Mm. Okay.
Mm. So, I mean, I've seen quite a few doctors. And what it is, I have a background of it. My dad is bipolar, and my mom has anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of inherited both of their traits. I've got the anxiety and the depression.
Yeah.
So,
God, you riding a bike to Mexico to spread the good news. This seems like the worst thing you could do for a guy with your condition.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I learned a lot, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of brought on the anxiety, which is so much
stress. Like Adam was saying, not a good thing for you with your bike.
All right, well, now you're back. Yeah?
And the question
like
is?
I'm getting married July 30th. Mm-hmm. And my problem is just since I've been on the Paxil, I take like 60 milligrams right now.
Wow.
Not even extended release.
That's a lot?
That's a lot.
That's quite a bit. And, I mean, they don't even make tablets that big, Adam. I have to cut one in half and take one and a half. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it seems since I've just, like with my girlfriend, my fiance, it's just kind of like the sex. I just don't.
The sex is
no sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do except get off the Paxil. Knock it down. The only ones that will not do that are Cerazone, Wellbutrin, or Remeron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of the antidepressants anyway. So talk to them about that.
Yeah, I was thinking about Mexico. You know, corrugated tin, huge in third world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doors, roofs, siding. And it's decent stuff.
Huh.
Doesn't sound great when it rains, you know?
Well, that makes a little racket, huh?
Makes a little racket, but solid stuff.
Here's the deal, Ryan. You may need a mood stabilizer rather than antidepressant. The mood stabilizers, like Depakote, you know, these sorts of medicines, aren't as likely to cause the sexual side effects.
Mm-hmm. All right, you want to speak to Martin?
Sure.
Got Prince Albert piercing.
You want to do that?
He's 16. He got a Prince Albert? Yeah. Don't want to talk to that guy.
Yeah.
Never made out with a guy. All right, let's talk to Kyle. But I'm bracing myself for the worst. Kyle?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes.
You got a Prince Albert?
Yes.
Who gave it to you?
A guy named George.
Oh, George. Wait, hang on. Now that George. That flushes out the story very vividly.
You're out in Antioch?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. George and Antioch.
I know him out there.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Does good work. Great penis work. He's, you know, there's good second story men, and then there's good crank men. He's, George,
crank.
One of the best crank guys around. Yeah.
What do you call
really
the hood?
Work on a
the
crank.
Hood guys.
You guys work on a hood? Jorge.
Jorge the hood guy?
Yeah, that's the Mexican version of George.
Jorge the hood man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, shut your own mic. All right. Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jorge is the Mexican.
Be careful,
George.
Chris. Adam just picks up whatever the environment comes right out of his mouth. So if you say something, it's coming out of his mouth.
Kyle, I'm hip. Yeah. You know, we're on Mexico. We're talking about Jorge.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right, so Kyle, so you got a Prince Albert, and now what?
Well, ever since I got it, I have been having erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. I've tried taking Viagra, and it's not doing anything for me.
Mm, yeah, it's possibly bogus, but that can happen. How did you get a 16-year-old? How did you get somebody to put a pierce on a 16-year-old?
I got a friend's mom to take me up there.
Oh. Nope, that's not. Now we know it's bogus.
Friend's mom drove you. Hi, I want to introduce you to Miss Silveri.
Yeah.
Hi. Do you know Kyle? Yes, I drove him up, and I have a 77 Valiant station wagon with the fake siding. Okay, all right. Well, I'll be sitting here reading Oversized magazine while you put a spear through this guy's joint. Okay, then. Oh, we got a friend. Mom drove you.
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world now.
Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
They're
I didn't believe you at the beginning.
They're very open-minded.
They like to break the law?
They're willing to bend it a little.
Why did you need to go with an adult at all, then?
Well, because I couldn't get anybody to get me a fake ID, so I didn't want to ask my parents because that's kind of embarrassing.
I thought they were open-minded. They don't mind doing minors.
I don't understand. How do they provide a fake ID?
And
how
what does somebody's mom,
friend's mom give you a fake ID?
So I got them to pose as my mom and say that it's all right to do it. Like, because they said I didn't need parental permission or be 18 or to have it. So I asked my friend's mom to pose with my mom and say it was okay.
What's she like?
Very nice.
Again, it's all fleshed out for me now.
She's nice.
Yeah, she's very, very nice.
She has to be a horribly disturbed mom.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
Female.
Mom person.
I just couldn't imagine taking someone else's 6-year-old kid to get a
posing as his parent
to
do something illegal, to put a spear through his schwanz.
The way, it's not like seeing a R-17 movie. I mean, it's not like, oh, well, you want a pack of butts and a fifth of scotch? Yeah, oh, no, my dad will buy it. Here you go, son. No, he says, this is my dad. No, you got to be 21 or you got to be 18 to buy a pack of smokes, right? I mean,
are parents that do that weird stuff. They go, well, long as you do it in our house, it's
fine. No, I understand, but I mean, as far as the guy who's doing the piercing,
yeah.
Like, look, either you got to be 18 or your mom's got to come in.
Right.
So what if the mom brought in her 9-year-old?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
seems like there would be some liability there.
Well, they do allow parental consent. There is such a thing. They'll take that, some of them.
I know, but for like an aggressive genital
piercing?
I know, you
wouldn't think so, right.
Yeah,
all right, anyway, so is it surprising? Let's say you put a barbell through your finger. Would it be surprising if they got some numbness at the tip of the finger?
Right.
Or you had stiffness in the joints? Yeah, yeah. Right. You violate a body space and things don't work normally.
Mm, you're telling me. I can barely sit. Martin?
Yeah.
Barely. You're 24?
That's from your carbuncle?
That's just from the violation I had. That's enough. That's enough. Martin?
Yeah.
24. You only had one sex partner?
Yes.
Do you think you got STD from only having one partner in your entire life?
I'm suspicious of it.
What's the STD?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, is I don't know yet. It's just I went into urgent care actually tonight, and the doctor seems to think it's either, and he listed off a few things like the clap or I don't know, a couple other things. And I just don't.
Wait. The doctor used the term the clap?
No, he didn't.
Okay. No, what did he say?
He didn't say that.
What did he say?
What's the real word for it? I'd recognize it if I heard it.
Gonorrhea?
Gonorrhea.
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia. And yeah, I think he actually mentioned E. coli in there somewhere.
Well, E. coli is just a urine infection.
Wait a minute. Is the clap is either chlamydia or gonorrhea, right?
Historically, it's gonorrhea.
Historically, it's gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Like when your father's father got the clap.
Yeah.
Gonorrhea.
I can't believe that a 24-year-old would even know to use that term.
The clap?
Yeah.
It's too, seems too young.
Ancient. Yeah, it's too.
It's gone the way of the dodo?
The dodo. Who?
Who's gone the way of the dodo?
Exactly.
Martin?
Yeah.
You've only been with one girl in 24 years on this planet.
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that, too.
Well, I am.
How long ago did that happen, that you were with her?
When was the last time, or when did we start?
Both.
About a month and a half ago, and the last time was a couple days ago.
Oh, man. You must have been the white tornado.
Right.
I mean, you had a lot of love built up over the years, yes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Poor Martin.
Yes. I mean, she just unleashed. I mean, like, I would imagine it'd be like starting a weed whacker in your bedroom, you know what I mean? Just all of a sudden papers flying everywhere, stuff getting caught up in the drapes, bookshelves being knocked over, you know? Wee! And the neighbors, like, looking through the windows. What's going on in there? Stuff flying around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man of passion. Drew, could you imagine if you'd dammed up your passion for, you know, maybe 8 or 9 years before, you know, when it was ready to go? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's hard to
imagine that kind of rush of passion. Marty?
Yeah.
Okay, so
what I need to know is, I mean, I could describe the symptoms to Dr.
Yes,
Drew.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Basically, Friday it started.
Hurts when you
burning.
Pee.
What's that?
Hurts when you pee.
Hurts when I pee. And then Saturday it started getting better, and I was like, hey, it's gone. Cool. I didn't know what it was. And then Sunday I felt fine. Today it started getting really bad. And then tonight, a little bit of blood in the pee, and it started really hurting. So I went to urgent care. And
did he put you on some antibiotics?
What's that? Yeah, they gave me a shot, and they put me on antibiotics.
Levaquin?
I don't know. I've got the bottle right here.
Doxycycline.
Doxycycline.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the deal. This may just be a plain old urinary tract infection. This may not actually be an STD. It may be an STD. It may be something that's finally sort of surfaced that maybe she's had for a while that you're finally contracting. There's also something called a non-gonococcal urethritis, which can come from sort of a non-classical STD. In other words, she may have something in her vagina that you get exposed to and finally develops into an infection. It doesn't really amount to anything.
Let's not worry about that. Let's talk about us for a second. You know, I was looking at my downers. Today, the empty bottle of downers Drew prescribed me last. And I was thinking, I gotta get some more of these drugs. I was thinking to myself, you know, they go nice with the booze. And I looked at it and said, no refills. And I thought, that pussy, what's with the no refill? Why don't you just automatically give me a nice refill, buddy?
Well, here's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
No, you didn't.
That means you're down to your last.
How dare
that means you have
you?
No more refills.
How dare
which
you,
frightens
sir.
Me enough from now on.
How
you will get no
dare
refills.
Dare you barge into my studio and step, plant your horny ass onto my
hey,
bar
man,
stool.
This kind of show just not my kind of thing. I gotta go.
How
I
dare go. You attack me, sir? I know. No, I there was no. It was the same bottle from whenever I got the prescription from you, like 4 months ago or five, whenever. Maybe it's 3 weeks. The point is it said no refills on the goddamn thing. Slap in the face, Drew. There was no refill. It wasn't a refill. That was the original bottle.
It's shocking.
Just put it on. What do you got to do?
I swear to God, I did. That's why you're scaring
me.
No,
you didn't. No, you did not. And we'll talk.
Maybe
about
your wife filled them and used them.
Ooh. That's what brought us together.
Yeah.
I love it.
I
drugs.
Know that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Nothing better than a nice Ambien and a bottle of red wine. Just really, cares. Just melt away. Melt away. All right, Drew, let's score. All right. We got Patrick over here. Patrick is gay. He's 19. He's on line 3. Patrick? Patrick? Caller goes by the name of Patrick.
Go to 6.
All right. Rick?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
You have a dependency on booze and drugs?
Well, the situation is I've always kind of drank and did drugs, but my girlfriend and I broke up about a year ago, and ever since I started smoking cigarettes, which I didn't do before, and I started doing more drugs and doing harder drugs. Mm-hmm. Started drinking a lot more often.
Well, there you go. I mean, this is how this happens. Is again, it's
when did not shutting your car door start? When did that begin?
What's that?
Not closing your car door.
What do you mean?
Oh, that seems
it's closed now. Yes, it's closed.
Are you in your car?
No.
Where are you?
How does that sound?
I'm laying down in bed actually.
What about some feedback from his extended phone?
Wow, it's crazy. Yeah, it sounds like there's a chime going off in the background.
Anyway, Rick, this is how this happens, is that there's stressors and needs to sort of regulate one's feelings. It escalates use. If you have the biological genetic history of addiction, then on it comes. I suggest you do look into this because it sounds like you're on your way. And certainly you're finding that the substances aren't going to help with the feeling state. They work in the short term, but they end up becoming a separate problem when you can't stop using, and they certainly don't work any longer in terms of helping you regulate your feelings. Go to an AA meeting.
See
if you find some support there. That's one thing you can do. If you really want to do something, that's what you can do.
Yeah. It's free. It's cheap. It's easy. Just go to the AA meeting.
Go there, get a sponsor, start talking about what you've been feeling about this breakup, about your use of substances, about undoubtedly having come from an alcoholic family system, I suspect. And see if you don't feel better.
All righty, then.
Good times.
Yeah, it's good times. It's good times. It's good times. We got Nicole over here. She's never been able to stay faithful with boyfriends. Wants to know why she cheats. I do kind of... There's something exciting about talking to her. And I know she's attractive, because attractive chicks can cheat. Nicole?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you good looking?
I've been told that, yes. Had some opportunities to do some commercials and whatnot, so I guess I have a look to myself.
Yeah. I've done some commercials too. Doesn't mean I'm good looking.
Because you're the Jack in the Box sign.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Wait a minute, that was Burger King.
Burger
King. How dare you? That's
sorry,
right.
Sorry.
All right. So, is it hot in here, Jerome? Yes. Or is that just me? All right, so, Nicole, you're an attractive girl, yes?
Yeah. Yes.
You've had many lovers, yes?
I guess the term many kind of scares me, but I've had a handful.
Give us a number.
6.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a handful.
I wouldn't even call
that
a handful.
Is that like borderline or something?
Nah.
No, that's
a few.
For 22, that's a pretty light load these days.
Okay.
And
that makes me feel better.
And you cheated? Have you cheated on your past 2 or 3 boyfriends?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I've never really sought out a person. It seems like they always.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about being hot and being 22. You'll be sought after. You have to say no.
It can be compulsive, you know. I mean, it's not easy.
Can be what, did she say?
I don't know. She just wants to hear the sound of her own voice. Yeah, I've done a few.
Well, she wants to know why she keeps cheating.
Yeah, well, she's having intimacy problems.
Maybe. Or maybe the problem is in the first place. She's not going out after guys that she wants to be with. She's letting guys come to her and sort of settling for them.
Do you sleep with these guys?
Yeah, but they're always relationships. I've never been single.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, maybe you're getting involved in these joint-at-the-hip relationships that you don't really want to be in. Maybe you need to really go out and evaluate people a little more carefully before you get sucked into relationships.
What about the guys you cheat with? Do you sleep with them?
Well, they tend to be past relationships.
She goes back.
Oh, you go back. Sense.
Yeah, I go back. And I don't know if maybe, it's... I have a lot of, stored bad energy, I guess you might call it.
All right. Well, why don't you work on that with a therapist,
professional? Yeah.
Well,
stored bad energy.
I I've tried that. You know, it's real curious to me because I, like, things still tend to haunt me. Like, how do you ever let something go?
How many years did you go to therapy?
A couple, like two or three. And this was when I was younger, but...
Maybe you weren't ready for that yet.
What happened to you, by the way? What's haunting you?
Oh, God. I had some, you know, some issues, I guess, with drugs and whatnot, and there was a person in particular that basically just screwed me in the worst possible way. You were both using drugs? Yeah, and this is actually a girl. This is a best friend of mine. And,
yeah. I don't know.
No, it's weird, though. I mean, I have nightmares.
All right. Yeah. Listen, we're going to take a break. Maybe we'll talk to Nicole.
I'm intrigued. No, I'm intrigued. Because the fact that you're starting to abuse her suggests to me that she's a victim.
Well, she's okay. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Pennywise in here tomorrow night, and then we got Colby from Survivor. And what's up, Drew?
Let's finish up with Nicole.
Oh yes, Nicole. Nicole's 22. Never been able to stay faithful to a man. She's cute.
Some weird thing with a girlfriend, which doesn't satisfy our needs for trauma.
Nicole.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, all right. What happened with this girlfriend?
It's probably a longer story than you guys want to hear. But
okay, give us, in one sentence, what happened?
Basically, she stole my credit cards and...
She stole stuff from you. And you were both doing drugs at the time?
Yeah, and it was a whole drawn-out thing where, you know, I didn't know it was her, and she was my best friend at the time.
Nicole, stop.
That's not where your abuse came
from. Right. Now, are you doing drugs currently, anything?
No.
You're not taking prescription medication or anything like that?
No.
Nothing?
I would be, but Drew won't give me a refill.
I know.
Breaks my heart. My own partner doesn't even trust me.
And then what happened?
I know.
What happened maybe growing up that makes it difficult for you to stay intimate with somebody? And family kind of break up or move around a lot?
No, my parents are probably the...
All right. Well, nothing. So get over it and straighten up and fly right. Listen, everybody, if nothing ever happened to you, you know, it's like this is what happens on this show. People call up. They're like, well, look, and I'm not being facetious when I say that you call up and you go, look, I've cheated on my last four boyfriends. And we say, well, what happened? Well... I had a girlfriend screw me over a few years ago. No, that's not it. Yeah. What about your family? Well, they were good. My parents were together and stuff. They took care of me. And no one abused me or raped me or anything. All right, well, then stop.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. People that were brought up in decent environments and even good environments are capable of sort of being weak and...
A phase.
Having a phase. Yeah. And also, I think sometimes people just label themselves as, hey, this is I'm this kind of person.
Right.
I cheat. I keep cheating on my boyfriends. What do you want me to do?
Right.
So I've cheated on the last four, and when the fifth one comes around, well, guess what? Because that's who I am. Well, feel free to stop.
Yeah. To be a better person. Go ahead.
Right. Now, if your parents, you know, ritualistically abused you in some sort of, you know, converted basement/dungeon, and you have the predisposition for the alcoholic gene and so on and so forth, we'll cut you a little slack. But if everything was kosher back in the day... And you're doing something you don't like, then stop it.
Still betting that Nicole grew up in an alcoholic family, and she probably many people that do aren't really aware that's what they're dealing with because they don't notice the effects of it because it's just normal for their family.
Patrick,
hey, what's going on?
What's happening, gay Patrick? You're 19.
Hey, listen, long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
What's up?
Hey, I got something else for you, Adam. Hey, you listening?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm always listening.
Okay. Hey, when with your whole Boobville thing, remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was thinking of something
the other day,
that we left behind.
Patrick, you're gay, aren't you?
No, I'm not gay. I lied to the screener.
Okay.
Goodbye.
He doesn't sound gay, by the way.
No, I was going to say, if he was gay, he would have been born gay.
Born gay, the life is to live gay. You know that song, Drew?
I know you were sort of winding up to it as soon as you heard Patrick's voice.
Born gay. I was not. It just struck me. I know this sounds, homophobic or something, but we just sit here and read people all night long, and you start sounding like what you are. If you're racist, well, no, racist.
But there are gay guys will call, and you just, huh? And that's boring. Yeah. That's boring.
I haven't had one in the 9 years I've been here, but I'm sure
no,
they exist.
We have. Remember, we've just gone, oh, whoa, you're the real thing. Remember us saying stuff like that to somebody?
Yeah. Here's what, you know, I haven't explained my theory to Engineer Chris about this. You have this, is that the soft palate up above?
The hard and the soft in the back.
Soft's in the back. Hard, how far back does the hard go?
Well, the soft, when you start gagging.
But the hard is sort of a weird and ticklish. And the hard is actually hard. Is that bone? Is that like a plate?
Yeah.
And then it gets soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you apply enough penis pressure up in here, Chris, is here?
Chris, you're taking those? You're right,
on
Chris?
On the hard palate, it will actually change the timbre of the voice. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Let's talk. And then don't even get me started on the whole cornholing thing. You want to change your voice? Ready to move on? How about you move on to the other studio? We get some chicken here. Can keep quiet. Moving on back to his folks' house in about 20 minutes.
April.
Yeah. Yes.
23.
Little McDonald's drive through and nice side of tears.
That'd side be Chris's life?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he dunks his chicken fingers into. A little ranch and some tears. It's all right. I've taken a kid under my wing. It's like it's my own. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I do I call it a silent mentoring program.
Ignoring mentoring.
Yeah. Where I'm actually...
Ignoring mentoring.
I'm actually, you know, well, first a child should be seen and not heard.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two, do as I do and don't talk to me or something like that. I just come in here and lead by example.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris knows. Uh-oh.
Hello?
April?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up? Yes. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. I'm 23, mm-hmm. and I just lost my virginity. And I've been dating this guy for 4 months, and he broke up with me, and I have no idea why he broke up with me. So.
Immediately after losing your virginity?
No. I kind of was ready to have sex for about a year before he started pursuing me, but I didn't want to have sex with anybody. I wanted to just be in a relationship first.
Yeah, what happened with that? How'd that go?
With having sex with him?
Well, I mean...
Why I waited?
Yeah, why'd you wait?
A couple of reasons. I'm from the nation's highest pregnancy rate, the area that I'm located in, so I was very afraid of getting pregnant. And also, I grew up very spiritual, and I believed in abstinence for a long time until I moved to Los Angeles, and I became very liberated and kind of loosened up. And
that'll crush your spirituality, Los Angeles. Where are you from?
I'm from Tulare.
Oh, okay.
So it's about 45 minutes south of Fresno, north of Bakersfield.
Oh,
Cowtown.
Well, that's just white trash on white trash over there.
Not just white trash.
Oh, yeah, it's a handful of Mexicans over there. It's, just,
exactly.
It's one big rape fest over there. A bunch of migrant workers. And
there's not a lot to do except that.
They were just banging the bejesus out of each other.
Yeah, right.
And those people are it's really like... Of mice and men, and you're going
in grapes of wrath.
I mean grapes of wrath. Sorry, you're going back to like the Dust Bowl over there.
Yeah,
just
the shanty towns.
Desperate people. Yeah. Just they got nothing to do but get it on.
Yeah. It's good, Adam. You got the right author, which is wrong title.
I did.
It's good.
Yeah.
Steinway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Steinbeck.
Steinway makes the pianos.
I have kind of a medical question too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can a guy get a yeast infection just from not keeping himself clean, or is it only sexually related?
No, if he's uncircumcised, they can get yeast infection.
Okay, because he was not circumcised. Okay, yeah. I was just.
Well,
curious.
You mean can they get them from you?
No, I know they can, but because we hadn't had sex in like 5 days because I was on my period, and he had one, and I thought, Okay. Was it, is this just because he didn't take a shower for a couple of days and he was, you know, not keeping himself clean?
All right. Now, what is this with him dumping you? What was going on in the relationship with you? How did he leave?
Well, we had great sex the night before. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then the next morning, I dropped him off at work.
Wait. Was this your first time together?
No. Our first time was in December, and he broke up with me about 2 weeks ago.
All right.
So ever since then, it's been really good.
How did he break up?
I don't know why we broke up.
How did he break up?
Well, the next morning, I dropped him off at work, mm-hmm. kissed him goodbye, and then later that afternoon, he called me and told me we needed to talk, and he just said we had differences, and it was just a huge shock to me because we never fought. Ever.
Right, here's, I have an absolute read on that, do you?
Okay. No, I... hold on a second. Gay?
No.
No.
But this is the equivalent. Another girl.
Maybe there was always another girl.
But whatever it is, that one now is stepping up. You know what I mean? Now he's going with that one, period.
Yeah.
End of story. That's it.
Yeah. Going, you know, sort of looking back...
Whenever a guy all of a sudden goes, we've got to talk now. Something, a shoe has dropped. That's what that means.
Let's talk about this because it's probably happened to me several dozen times over my dating career too. When you're sort of confused, like when you're thinking, well, look, they might have put us on any stamps, but I've seen worse couples. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're getting along okay. Sex is decent. Where are you going? Like,
they won't do anything. But if they're kind of unhappy.
No. Here's what I'm saying. When someone just says to you, hey, that's it. We're breaking up. And you're saying,
huh?
Oh, we went to Santa Barbara together last weekend. We had a good time. What's up? And when you're confused by it.
It means something. Something happened
to the
person. It
usually means somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's reared their head.
Yeah, somebody's got somebody.
Could be an old flame. Sometimes it's like a job where they have a couple applications out. Mm-hmm. There's somebody's waiting. They need to pick up a little work in the interim. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and
it's the guys
over at Lockheed. They say they have a place for a head engineer or something. It's like, pow, I'm packing my bag.
Yeah, you call your employer. That's it. I'm sorry. That's it. Yeah, I mean, but especially when they're extremely... that deliberate too, because usually a guy that's just kind of unhappy and wants to get up will kind of go at dinner. Will go, I don't know. It's me. It's not you. As opposed to, we got to talk now. This is it's over.
Here, right. Talk about. He'll be trying to bang you. By the way, the following Friday. If in fact that is Friday, he'll try that later that night.
That night, that's right.
But if it's Saturday, it'll be the following Friday, and you do the math. Whatever the next Friday that comes along is, he's going to want something.
I'm telling you, that's the way guys are. It means another girl pal.
And I think it could be the way women are, too, when you get that sort of confused. Not quite as bad.
Women will give you 100 warnings, though, before that happens. The guys just miss them.
Yes.
The girls get no warnings from the guys.
All right.
Boom, that's it. The new job.
All right.
Okay.
Steinway. I was just laughing at me saying
that. Is a complete shock to me.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I see him now because he works at the gym.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, when I'm...
All bets are off. He works at the gym.
Yeah, chicks.
Oh, you got chicks. Because he's got that fanny pack.
Yeah.
He's got those baggy tiger
stripes.
Well,
let's see what she's observed.
So when I run into him, I don't know, like, to just ignore him or to say hi. He's like, I want to be friends, you know.
He just wants to not feel bad.
He doesn't want to feel bad.
Yeah, there's another chick. Kind of being an also.
There's another chick. Look, April, there's nothing wrong with you. You're 23, you're cute, your name April, you got a little mileage. You're fine.
Yeah.
Don't think about another guy. Don't worry about him anymore.
Yeah.
Plenty of guys after you, all right?
Thanks.
All right, good luck, baby doll. Do not...
Don't fret.
Yeah, don't fret. You're 23. You're in the prime of your life.
And by the way, she's just kind of getting going. There's going to be some not so good guys.
Yeah, she may be chronologically 23, but emotionally she's in high school.
Yeah,
she's in 10th, 11th grade.
Yeah.
All right.
She'll go through these pretty quick and then find the real thing.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, yeah. Love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew was just handed the Blender magazine. Oh, well, your name is mentioned in the thing.
Okay, all right.
Is it not?
Yes, it is.
Drew gave me the hands, like, don't say anything. But anyone who picks up an issue of Blender magazine, there's an interview with Courtney Love, and she says you called her sane. Yes?
Yes, that's what she says.
Well, what's it say? Turn to the page. I want
to. I'm reading something else I wrote too. Apparently about Jessica Simpson and Nick.
The hell? Don't you write about them?
I didn't.
What do these people care about you for, Drew?
I know.
Focus on me, would you please?
I do.
All right, you find what Courtney Love said about you, and we'll hop
Here's
back
what
to
said.
The phone.
Courtney was brought to Los Encinas Hospital in Pasadena.
Speaking of microphone place.
Courtney was brought to Los Encinas Hospital in Pasadena, where radio personality and MTV host Dr. Drew Pinsky served as medical director for the Department of Chemical Dependency Services.
Slow down.
Thank the blanking Lord for Pinsky, Love says. She contends that Pinsky took one look at her and said, "What are you doing here? This must be a mistake." Although a patient could be held for 72 hours for a 5150, Love was released from the hospital later that same night and managed to find her way home.
Oh. Now, that doesn't sound like the Drew I know. Not the Drew that wouldn't give me a refill on my Ambien. Thinks I'm a junkie. Meanwhile, he's proclaiming giving Courtney Love the key to the city.
That's right.
So you never said you're fine, you're sane.
The way the HIPAA laws are in this, I can't even say whether I saw her or not, or whether she's speaking the truth or not, or anything. That is the new laws. You can't even
the Hippocratic Oath stuff.
The HIPAA laws
is that new, what they call?
No, these are new.
What's HIPAA?
Privacy laws.
Why are they called HIPAA?
HIPAA, the Patient Privacy Advocacy Act or something.
I
don't know.
Private. Where's the H come?
Hospital and insurance, patient, private. You know, who knows? I don't know what it stands for even.
Oh, you can't talk about anything.
You can't acknowledge that you have a patient.
Yeah, I know. But except for when the patient then.
Then you can't say whether. You literally, the law requires you to say, I can't tell you whether that's true or not. Whether that person saw
you. Listen, Dr. Jackoff, if the patient is talking in a magazine about greeting you at a hospital, you can acknowledge that meeting.
No, I can't.
Yeah, of course you can.
No, you can't, Adam. That's against the law.
Oh, please, it is not. And you're such a puss.
Let me tell you, when people call my hospital,
let's
say you're in the unit, and your father
How
calls.
How dare you?
Your father
out
calls.
Me.
And I have to say, I can't acknowledge whether that patient's in this facility or not.
All right, well, that means he's in there. No, look, I don't care about that. I'm talking about if somebody says that they went somewhere to your hospital and greeted you, and it's in print, you can acknowledge whether that exchange took place. I'm not talking about seeing her subsequently or calling even her your patient, which you then, now you've let the cat out of the bag. You can say whether this exchange has happened or not.
I can't because it's...
She's your patient.
Because it says...
Uh-huh. You hear that, Chris?
Because if I say that it happened, it would say she was a patient at a hospital where I can't acknowledge that she was or was not a patient.
No, because she walked in, said hi to you, and turned around and left.
That's not what this says.
Oh, that's what I thought
said.
No. She was out that night.
Yeah, she was. That's what it says.
Well, what did it say? Read it again. And stop switching pages, Drew.
I want to read this other thing.
Well, stop reading the other thing. What's the other thing say? Read the other thing, goddammit.
It's that I claim to say that Jessica and Nick's marriage will last 8 to 10 years.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Is that true?
I think they'll last a while. I do.
8 to 10 is a long time?
You know what I told them was 8 to 10 years, we'll see. That'll be the point at which we'll see whether the passion that they have now will sustain to the next level.
All right.
And I was saying that their schedule is their biggest problem. They don't sort of prioritize their relationship.
Yeah. Get back to the HIPAA log over there. All right, find that thing again.
All right.
You got it? No, go ahead.
It says, brought to Las Encinas, where I serve as medical director and saw her.
You saw her?
According to her.
According to her.
Said, what are you doing here? This must be a mistake. Basically, that's what she says.
All right. And so that took place. Wait, you're such a big puss. Oh, stop being such a puss. It's in the magazine. Yeah, it's in the magazine. She said it. Not you.
Correct. She said it.
She said it.
That's right.
All right. I can't stand a puss.
It's not a puss. That is the law. That is the law. They're super clear on this stuff now.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this, Mr. Law.
Yeah.
What's the speed limit?
Speed limit is wherever you are.
What's the speed limit? 55? 65? How fast are you driving away home? That's the law. That's the law.
So therefore... I should just go and rob a bank because if I speed, therefore I'm completely out of control.
I think we've established there's some flexibility in what you call the law.
These are really serious. Let me tell you something. People are looking on these laws.
Yeah, like,
you have no idea what's going on around this.
Well, they're looking for lawsuits.
You can't even imagine.
I know, but
the hospital is the ones that take the heat on this stuff.
All right. Well, she did the interview saying you were in the hospital.
Yes, she did.
And, you know, you not saying you were there when she did the interview saying she came in and greeted you and you called her sane seems, ironically more guilty than actually saying something. Kim?
Hi, yes.
All right, I'm disgusted with all
that. We're out of time.
Let's take a break. I've had enough. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Well, there's the show.
The roller coaster show tonight.
That's good times.
Covered a lot of territory.
Absolutely. Pennywise in here tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.